Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you brought your Bibles, I want to begin in James chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 17. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a number of them. I actually don't know how many because I like so many, but this is definitely one of them. One that I put to memory some time ago and has blessed my life over the years. Anybody have some memory verses or some verses in the Bible that you know you can go to for encouragement? And amen. And so as you're turning there, let me just give you the title of the message tonight if you're taking notes. It is God's Will Greater Still. God's Will Greater Still. And you know, actually, before we read, let me just kind of share with you a little bit about how this message came to be. This came out of some personal devotion, time that I was having with God, just reading my Bible. And so I'm going through this particular chapter, and actually, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Nobody ever taught me this. This is just kind of something that I found myself doing. But every once in a while, I'll read a passage of scripture or a chapter or something, and that passage of scripture, that chapter just speaks to me. I mean, it just really gets my attention. If I could say it to you this way, it just feeds me. It's just giving me the spiritual nutrition that I need for that day, that week, that month, that season of my life. And so what do I do? Well, I'll go back to it the next day and I'll read it again and the next day. In fact, there's a time in my life, I remember Ephesians chapter 2 was just it for me. And so I think I read Ephesians chapter 2 every day for a month. And it blessed my life. And, it doesn't need to be a rule, but I think you and I need to take note when God is speaking to us and slow down our lives and take just a moment to say, all right, God, what is it that you want me to get? And so it just fed me. And here in James chapter 1, this last week, I found myself about two or three times just going back to the chapter, just, man, God, there's so much in this chapter. Anybody out there experience what I'm talking about? Amen. And so we don't have time tonight to talk about everything I found in this chapter. We're just going to talk about one thing. And so let's go there now in verse number 17 of James chapter 1. It says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I don't know about you, but that really encourages me. Anybody find some encouragement in that verse? Boy, I'll tell you what, this verse is full of revelation. And it shows us and it begins to reveal to us who God is and what God is like. It literally shows us his nature. Come on, it talks about the fact that God is a father. God is a father. What is God like? Who is God? Well, he's a father. I like here because it talks about God's good nature. How many of you out there know God to be a good God? It goes on and it talks about God's perfect nature. I like that. In fact, it goes on and it even talks about God's giving nature. How many know the Bible tells us that God did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? The God that you serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, they are giving. Their nature is to give to us. And in fact, I love this. It even goes on to say that God is an unchanging God. It is his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always been good. He is good today, and he will be good forever. He has given, and he will continue to give back then, today, and forever. The God that we serve is an unchanging God. So, I mean, talk about a verse that's just packed full of the riches that are found in Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so you, as you look at this verse, you just think, man, this is awesome. But then as I was reading through it this last time, I began to see some things that I think I had kind of seen before, but not quite like I did. Not quite like I did. And what I want to do is I want to go back with you now to verse number 12, and I want to read with you from verse number 12 through verse number 17, because now we're going to look at this verse in context. See, this verse all by itself is full of revelation, but if you go back and you look at it in context, I think we're going to find even more to this verse than may meet the eye. You follow me today? Well, let's go back to verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Wow. Does that not put that verse in a almost a completely different light? What is James talking about here? James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is dealing with, he's tackling the topic, if you will, of temptation and temptation in people's lives. And he opens up with verse number 12 and he says, hey, listen, blessed is the man or blessed is the woman who endures temptation. For after they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, I just want to take just a time out and just say this, that nobody here is exempt from being tempted. Not you, not me. We live in a fallen world. We live in a toxic place. The Bible talks about how the world is under the sway of the wicked one, how men will grow more corrupt over time as time goes by. The Bible says in Timothy that, you know, in the last days, perilous times will come because men are just going to lose it. They're just coming apart at the seams, and it's only going to get worse and worse. And so we live in a very toxic environment. And it won't be until we meet up with Jesus face to face that we leave all of this, you know, the presence of sin behind, and then we can finally be in total and complete freedom. Now, that's not to discourage anybody today, all right, and make you feel like you're fighting a losing battle, because my Bible says that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And God has given us everything that we need to live a victorious life. But I need you to understand today that temptation is a real thing, and there's nobody here who's exempt from it. In fact, I remember another verse in Hebrews, and the Bible talks about how Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. In fact, the Bible goes further. As you dig into the Gospels, you'll find that the Bible talks about how the enemy would wait for an opportune time to come along and to tempt Jesus, to get him to try and fall. You know what, I kind of think about that. I think it would probably be beneficial for me to identify those times in my life where I'm at my weakest, those places and those different times, and in order to safeguard myself, keep myself out of temptation, keep myself from falling into this trap that James is trying to keep us from falling into. You follow me today? And so if Jesus was tempted, we know that we're going to be tempted too. Whether you're just starting off with the Lord, or whether you've been serving God for 1,800 million years, all right, nobody is exempt from temptation. But I want to say this before we move on. Temptation didn't work on Jesus, and it doesn't have to work on you. Just one more time, because I think that's so good. Temptation didn't work on Jesus, and it doesn't have to work on you, and it doesn't have to work on me. And that's why James is writing. And so after he begins to unpack this idea of temptation and talk about, you know, you're blessed if you'll endure. And then he talks about, you know, this is kind of the progress of temptation, how it works. And here are the consequences if you allow it to get a hold of your life. The end consequences are death. All right. And so he comes into verse number 16. And what does he say? He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be tricked. Let me put it like this for San Bernardino. Don't get it twisted, y'all. Don't get it twisted. Don't be deceived. Now, I don't think it's hard for any of us here to imagine or understand how deception goes hand in hand with temptation. Deception goes hand in hand with temptation. You might say it this way, that temptation's very nature is deceptive. Temptation's very nature is deceptive. In fact, here in this passage of scripture that we just read, the word tempt in these passages means to entice someone to go against their better judgment. To entice someone to go against their better judgment. You know, sometimes Christians, maybe because they don't know any better, unfortunately, they fall into some different areas of their life, you know, some different things and they find themselves in sin is not till they begin to grow and mature in the things of God, and maybe somebody comes along and teaches them, or it's the Word of God or the Holy Spirit that says, you know, I don't like that. I remember one time I went to go see a movie, and I'm not going to tell you what it was because, anyways, was one of those action-packed movies, so you don't get any wrong ideas. Action-packed movies, you know. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more. It involved vampires and stuff like this, and I'm watching this movie, and as I'm watching this movie, God spoke to me, I don't like this. I don't like this. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm grieving the Spirit of God. In fact, I'm grieving myself as I watch this. Now, if I'm going to be completely honest, I was a fool, and I did not leave the movie theater. I should have. I finished the movie. But I can say that I've never gone back to watch it again. Amen. Amen. All right? But all I'm saying, sometimes we fall into sin and maybe we don't quite realize what we're getting involved in. But for the most part, okay, for the most part, we are going to be enticed against our better judgment. In other words, you're going to be challenged in your faith. You're going to be challenged in what you know God has said by the enemy and by the world, by your flesh, by these different influences and these different entities that are out there that are going to try and coerce you into going against your better judgment. Are you following me today? There's going to be an attack on your better judgment, on what you know to be true, on what you know to be right, on what you know to be good. The difference between right and wrong. How many realize today we're living in a world that is all mixed up and all over the place? They don't know they're up from their down, their left foot from their right, but thank God, God has come along and given us the truth of his word, okay, and established us on that truth. And so we need to, you know, we need to make sure that we're standing firm on the principles of God, okay? Because we're going to be challenged in that area. So what are we saying? We're saying that James opens up talking about temptation. And then he begins to explain that, you know what, there's this deceptive nature that comes along with temptation. And then he goes into verse number 17, one of my favorite verses, and he says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And the moment I read that, reading in context, I saw it. The deception of temptation, you follow me today, is the deception of coming to the conclusion. Let's give everybody a moment to catch up. It is the deception of coming to the conclusion that there is a better alternative than that which God has prescribed for us. Hey guys, there's this thing called temptation. Blessed is the person who endures it. This is kind of how it works. Don't get involved because in the end, it'll lead you to death. Don't be deceived, because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. Listen. I don't want you to come to the conclusion in your life that there is a better alternative for you than what God has prescribed. I need you to have this established in your heart and in your life. That every good gift, every good thing is from above. Every perfect thing is from above. My friend, tonight, I believe that God just called me here just simply to declare to some people that if it ain't prescribed by God, it ain't good. And if it ain't prescribed by God, it ain't perfect. Only that which comes from God is good, and only that which comes from God is perfect. In fact, my Bible says in Romans, it goes a little bit further and says that everything that comes from God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Oh, that you would prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will greater still. And so we need to have this truth established in our hearts and in our lives. We live in a world, like I said, you know, we're questioning everything. We live in they call it a postmodern age. we think real highly of ourselves. In our generation, we think that we're beyond religion, we're beyond God, we've come to understand science and, you know, mathematics and all these different things well enough that, you know, religion and God and all that kind of stuff, well, that's for the Stone Age. And so we're living in a time that is, as they say, is we're questioning antiquity. I know that's kind of a big word, but basically, you know, we're questioning, our generation is questioning all the long established truths. The truths that have been established from long ago. We're questioning, is marriage really supposed to be exclusive between a man and a woman? Come on, somebody. We're questioning all the way down, people are questioning all the way down to their very gender. Thank you, Pastor Dan. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. My friend, can I tell you today that there are some things that you don't get to choose? There are some things that I don't get to choose. I don't get to choose my gender. You don't get to choose your gender. You didn't get to choose what ethnicity you were. You didn't get to choose where you were born, who your parents were. But can I say today that I am happy to allow God to have chosen because you know what? I'm not alive today by my own will. I'm alive today by His will. Come on, somebody. He is the one that created us and not we ourselves. And so I'm happy to submit. God knew exactly what He was doing when He put my spirit in a male body. Come on, somebody. God knew exactly what He was doing when He put your spirit in your female body or in your male body. God chose for you, and God knows best. God knows so good, in fact, you could never choose better for yourself. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Are you hearing me today? I'm trying to set some people free. I believe that God wants to set some people free and untwist the lies and the things that the enemy has set up in people's minds, the strongholds. And when you find yourself in a position where you're being challenged, is there a better way for me than what God has prescribed? You need to go back to these verses. You need to remind yourself again that God has your good, that God has your good and your well-being at heart and at mind. And nobody could choose better for you than He. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. From the Father of lights. So don't be deceived. God is the source of all that is good. I just got a few points here. I'm not going to go long tonight. Just got a few points that I think we're going to unpack this a little more, and I think will be beneficial for you. The first one is this. All right, we're talking about deception. The deception of coming to the conclusion that there's a better alternative for me than what God has prescribed. And so number one is this, don't be deceived by your perceptions. Don't be deceived by your perception. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse number 5. And as you turn, let me just bring you up to date on what's happening here in Genesis chapter 3. Eve is being tempted by the devil. God has said, you can eat from every tree of the garden except one. Man, I think if we really look at that, we realize God's commands for our lives are really not that difficult, are they? In fact, I think it's 1 John says they're not burdensome and they're not grievous. Just one tree. I just think to myself, it was just one tree, really? And so the enemy is tempting Eve, and we're going to just jump right into the middle of the story here in verse number 5, and look what he says to her. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What did he just say to her? Hey, Eve, there's a better way than what God has prescribed for you. Is that not what he just said? God doesn't want you to be like him. He's trying to hold out on you. He's trying to hold you back. He knows that in the day that you eat of it, you're not going to die. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Okay? We talked about that. Now look at verse number 6. Look what happens. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Notice here what the Bible says, that Eve's perceptions when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, that's when she partook. She looked to her perceptions. You might even, this point might have even been good to say, don't be deceived by your senses. She looked to her senses and she looked to her perceptions in order to evaluate whether or not it was good to eat from the tree. Can I just say something to everybody? Thank God today for a brain. A brain is a terrible thing to waste. Can somebody say amen? And thank God for senses. And God has given us these things to help us navigate through life. And they are wonderful tools. But my friend, life takes more than just an evaluation system that is based on my perceptions and my senses and your perceptions and your senses. Our perceptions and our senses have to have the truth of God's word there to make sure that we stay on track. And what she did was she separated herself from what God had said and tried to figure it out on her own, and she ended up sinning, and the rest is history. You follow me today? Okay? Her perceptions and her senses deceived her. Can I just put it to you like this? This is good for San Bernardino like this. Just because it looks good, just because it feels good, and just because you want it, that don't make it good. And that certainly doesn't make it God. Can I say that one more time? Just because it looks good, just because it feels good, and just because you want it, doesn't make it good. So don't be deceived by your senses and your perceptions. Separate your senses and your perceptions from what God has said. Your senses and your perceptions only work at their best efficiency, capability, when they are grounded in the truth of God's word. I remember in the young adults ministry years and years ago, actually before I got married, there's a young man, and this young man got saved, and man, God really started to work mightily in his life. It almost seemed like every time he showed up, week after week, there's some new form of transformation taking place in his life. Isn't that cool that God works so awesome, can work so awesomely and mightily in the soul and the heart that is willing to say, here I am, Jesus, take all of me, I surrender all, right? And he was just doing great. He was there weekly. He signed up for Bible college. In fact, he was volunteering and just doing great. Well, some time went by and he started to regret the amount of involvement that he had committed to. And, it was just kind of like, and so I had stopped seeing him as regularly as I had. And I thought, something's up, And so the next time I saw him right after service, I just pulled him aside and said, hey man, how's it going? And so we had a heart to heart conversation. Okay. And this young man, he began to explain to me that, in fact, I think he had either just finished his first year of Bible college and maybe even had started the second. But he said, I want to pursue my career. I want to make some more money. I want to be able to do this and that and buy this and that. And in fact, he wanted to get married, in the future. And so he had decided that in order to make this happen, he was going to stop coming to church as much. He was going to drop out of Bible college, and he was going to kind of pull back from volunteering. And I knew this was not a God thing. And so as I'm having this conversation with him, the Holy Spirit, aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit reminded me of a verse. And I just said it to him. I called him. I said, John, I said, you know what, John? I said, godliness with contentment, that is great gain. And the Holy Spirit spoke. You know how I knew it was the Holy Spirit? Because when I said it, his eyes got so big, they almost popped out of his head. Holy Spirit spoke to that young man. Now, unfortunately, he did not listen. All right? And from that day until now, he has had some real struggles in his life. And I just think that's case in point for what we're talking about today. He's relying on his senses, on his perceptions, on, how to... today we're talking about temptation. Maybe temptation for you is not some deep, dark sin. Maybe it's just you're contemplating whether or not to abandon God's direction for your life for some greater gain, for some greater success, for some greater ease. I don't know, for some greater promotion or some promise that the world has. But can we just say today that, you know what, that following God is better, okay? Now listen, don't get me wrong, because having a career, making money, and getting married is not wrong or bad. You follow me today, all right? So I'm not attacking any of those things. But what I am saying is, if those things are going to cause you to abandon God's direction for your life, better to hang on to Jesus and God's direction for your life and let God bring those other things to pass than to abandon them. Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Come on, God's will, greater still. And so this idea of leaning on our perceptions, I really feel like there's so much more that we can say about it, but we got to move on. Don't be deceived by your perceptions or by your senses. Number two today, don't be deceived by others who prosper doing evil. Do not be deceived because others seem to prosper doing what's evil. Has anybody watched the news the last year and a half? Hello? All of these who have so-called climbed the ladder of success. I mean, they're making millions and billions of dollars in Hollywood. Have all kinds of accolades and affirmation of men in politics. And they're dropping like flies, y'all. Literally dropping like flies. How many people, part of me wants to laugh, and the other part of me is like, this is so sad. But how many people got wiped out by the Me Too movement? And rightfully so. Right? All of these awards and all of these trophies from men because they produce such great films and such great movies and all this kind of stuff. And the whole time they're living a life of compromise. You know, they don't know God, so I suppose they don't know better to some extent, but... And yet they're found out, and what happens? They come crashing down. Same thing in politics. You know, we got the Me Too movement. We got, you know, people, again, climbing the ladder of politics, and they're the next up-and-coming thing who are going to save their, you know, their region, their our country, whatever, and come to find out, man, nobody wants to have anything to do with them. In fact, just recently came out some people who are trying to cheat the system to get their kids into prestigious colleges. And so just because other people seem to be finding success doing evil doesn't make it better than what God has prescribed for you. You stick to what God has. Hey, listen, look, can I share something with everybody that'll set you free? Ain't nobody getting away with anything. Nobody is getting away with anything. And you know what? There's a scary verse in Timothy. I believe it's Timothy. You can correct me, Pastor Dan, if I'm wrong. Timothy, it says that, you know what, some men's judgment is clearly seen. Others, they're so slippery, they'll go through this whole life, and then it will be revealed on judgment day. Is that Timothy? I think so. Anyway, somebody look it up. You find it, let me know. Let me know later. I love what the psalmist says. I'm gonna read this really quick. I'm gonna read 15 verses to you. Amen, Pastor Joe. The word of God is so great. I don't care. You can read 5 chapters if you want. Thank you very much. I believe I will. All right. Psalm 73. We're going to read 1 through 15. And I love the transparency of this man of God. This man of God in Psalms. And in Psalm 73, I have it right here on my paper. But I'm not going to turn there for time's sake. Verse 1, he says, truly God is good to Israel and to such as are pure in heart. I find that very interesting that he begins this by saying, God is good. Kind of reminds me of what we read in James 1. For every good... Okay. Truly God is good to Israel to such as are pure in heart. Remember, we talked about that has to be an established truth in our lives. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish for. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people, speaking of the people of the wicked, therefore the people of the wicked return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Is he really real? Does he really see? Does he really care? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Now I want you to see the turmoil that is taking place on the inside of this man as a result of considering people who are doing evil but prospering. He says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Can anybody relate to him? Right? And he's having this inner turmoil. My God, look at all these people and they just continually do wrong and yet they seem to prosper. Surely I have cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocence in vain. But I like what he says in verse number 15. If I had said, I will speak thus. Or in other words, had I gone out and started to actually talk this way and preach this and tell people this. He says, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation. To the generation of your children. I would have been untrue. You see, the truth is there is no better way than God's way. The truth is God's ways will always be found to be good. God's ways will always be found to be right. God's ways will always be found to profit. It may not come right away. Come on, somebody. But in due time, you will reap a harvest if you do not faint. Because God's ways will always prove true, will always prove good, and will always prove right. And so he has this moment of truthfulness. He said, look, this is how I feel, but the reality is that is untrue. And he goes on, Lynn, you can read it later on your own. He talks about how the wicked in one moment's time, they are wiped out. And God arises and God brings justice to those who are oppressed. So don't be deceived by others who are prospering, doing evil. You stick to what God has. And then finally today, don't be deceived because God's will sometimes involves hardship. All right? Are God's ways the easiest? No. Do God's ways involve hardship? Yes. Persecution? Yes. Suffering? Yes. I'd rather wrestle with my flesh, though, in order to keep it under than to wrestle with a wounded conscience. Hello? Oh, it's just so hard for me to resist. Well, it's either wrestle with that or wrestle with the wounded conscience. Or worse, sear your conscience and just give yourself headlong to the thing. Then where do you find yourself? I'd rather suffer scorn and reproach from others because of my faith than lose the approval and the praise that comes from God. Come on, somebody. Some of you on your jobs, you're being scorned, you're being reproached because you refuse to cheat, you refuse to lie, you refuse to fudge numbers. I'm here to tell you, good on you today because God is good. God has got your back. God's going to bring your promotion. God's going to bless you. Come on, the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that grows brighter and brighter until that perfect day. So don't be deceived just because God's will sometimes involves hardship. I want to read to you this verse and then we'll close. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. His evaluation system was such that he evaluated reproach with Jesus greater riches than the treasures that were found in Egypt, the most powerful, wealthy nation on the planet at the time. Can I just throw? I know I said I was going to close. Just a couple more things, real quick. Can I? Please. You know what the Bible says right here? It says that sin. Okay, it doesn't enhance your life. Can we be honest about it? Sin is not going to benefit you. sin will always involve destruction. All that sin can offer you is a passing pleasure. Here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow, and it'll leave you bankrupt. Hello? It's a passing pleasure. I like the verse that says, in your presence is fullness of joy, God, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Come on, sin is a counterfeit. I like what Pastor Sue has said for years. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. It's a passing pleasure. See it for what it is. Here today, gone tomorrow, has nothing to offer. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And then I like here what it says about Moses. Part of his evaluation system, the reason why he could esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt is because it says he looked to the reward. How many realize today that sin, okay, it ignores the long-term consequences? Are you following me today? It is a temporary solution. It is a temporary solution that ignores long-term consequences. So are you going to live for the moment, or are you going to live for tomorrow? Are you going to live for the moment, or are you going to live for your future? Are you going to live for the moment, or are you going to live for eternity? Come on, somebody. Okay? So let's recognize these things. Let's not be deceived, and let us have it grounded deep within our hearts that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, hey, tonight before we dismiss, you know what? Let's go ahead and pray before we, let's close with a prayer. Father, Lord, we just thank you for the word of God again. Lord, we thank you for what you have spoken tonight. Father, I believe that you have, through this word, in fact, even for myself, God, revealed areas where we feel like, man, what's the use of going through with this? Lord, when we know that it is good. And God, I just ask that you'd shine light in those areas of our life, God, and help us to realize, Lord, that you, and remember, Lord, that you are good, that you have our good and our well-being at heart and at mind. God, it is your desire to do good by us all the days of our life. Lord, it doesn't mean that we won't face hardship or challenges or even feel defeated from time to time. But God, it doesn't mean ultimately, Lord, that you're gonna work it out for our good, as you said. As you said, as you promised. And Father, we know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. So God, help us change our perspective. God, help us to ground our senses and our perspective in the truth of your word. God, help us not to look to the right or to the left and to consider and become envious of those who do wickedly and prosper. God, help us to understand, as the psalmist later did, and he said, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my flesh, many times they fail. But God, you are the strength of our lives and our portion forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our everything. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who reveals truth and tears down, Lord, the snares and the lies of the enemy. Lord, we just give you the praise for it. Thank you for your cleansing power. Thank you that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.